Fear This with Fear Oklahoma. Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Fear This podcast radio with Fear Oklahoma. I'm Veronica Smith, and my co-host is
Jamie Mose.
And we are here with our special guest, Wesley Fox. First, we want to make an announcement about the upcoming Paracon in Tyler, Texas. It's going to be this Saturday from 9 to 6:30. It's going to be a combination of a paranormal conference and a psychic fair. So there are going to be lots of vendors, lots of speakers, lots of activities going on. And then there's going to be a gallery reading at 8 o'clock that evening and a ghost hunt in four different locations. So, and the ghost hunt and Paracon is going to be held at the Staybridge Suites on Loop 323 in Tyler, Texas. So for more information, go to toursoftyler.com. And now we turn to our special guest, Wesley Fox. Wesley, you have done an awful lot in the paranormal industry. You've been on a haunting. You've written several books. You have a paranormal group, a fabulous paranormal tour that I went on and was very impressed. And you're going to also have a ParaFest in Branson October 15th of this year, correct?
Yeah, that is correct.
Is it going to be just the one day, or is it a two-day event, or?
As of right now, we're making it just a one-day event.
Okay. And who are some of your guests, anybody that we know?
Well, it just depends, I guess, if they watch A Haunting. They've
yeah.
Me and Melissa, demonologist Joe Eater, that's been on the shows with us a time or two.
Mm-hmm.
And then we are also premiering a documentary that we filmed here, back in March. We filmed most of it.
Oh.
And we'll actually premiere it at one of the haunted theaters here in Branson that night.
Okay. That sounds amazing. So is the documentary, does it take place there in Branson, or is it someplace else?
The documentary is actually about 13 miles from Branson.
Oh, okay.
It's probably... I mean, as a crow flies, of course, around here, it'd be like 10 miles, but, you know.
Yeah, okay.
All the windy roads and all that good stuff. It's probably...
Yeah.
It's probably from where the documentary was actually filmed at from my office. It's probably 15 miles.
Oh, okay. Well, that's nice. So what do you want to talk to us about tonight? Because you've done an awful lot in the paranormal genre.
Can I interrupt for just 1 second?
Yeah.
I was just going to ask, is there a phone number for people to call if they want to find out more information about the ParaFest?
Yes, that would be 417-334-7004.
Is it on your webpage?
We are in the middle of still getting our new webpage up, but it's going to be BransonGhost.com.
Okay.
I have just recently purchased the Branson Ghost Tours here in Branson. I've been a tour guide here for... Well, this is my fifth year, but, you know, my first year owning a business.
Mm-hmm.
But we're making Excellent. More changes from being kid-friendly to scarier.
Yeah. And when I was there, you had two different tour times. One was not quite as scary, and the other one was more scary. So.
Right. That would be the 845 kid-friendly, and then the 1015, what we call the Voices of the Dead, where we play some of the EPs from the different locations. But also, you know, we play some of the EVPs that, you know, if people have seen the episodes of The Haunting, would probably heard about at least one of them in general.
Yeah. Well, you know, you mentioned the Haunting episode. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that? Because I know you wrote a book about it, didn't you?
Well, I've actually wrote three books on the three episodes I've been on. They were kind of by chance.
Mm-hmm.
It started with my family's episode. What got me into the paranormal. Which
mm-hmm.
was an episode, season 7, episode 9, called Nightmare in the Attic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was me basically as an 8-year-old boy and some of the different hauntings that took place. We were under a demonic attack.
Mm-hmm.
We reached out to, you know, different churches for help, and they basically laughed at us and said that, you know, you guys are just crazy.
Yeah.
Luckily, we were able to move, and it didn't follow us.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what got me into the paranormal.
Oh, okay.
And it just so happened... About the time they'd done that, they said, well, you're a paranormal investigator. Do you have any cases?
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, yeah, I got a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But I gave them the Cupid case that we had just finished up, which was the my book, Delivers from Evil, the Christmas and Cupid Haunting.
Mm-hmm.
And they done the, you know, the episode on that. They jumped all over that, and that was called season – that actually premiered two episodes before my family haunting.
Okay.
So it was season 7, episode 7, called Child's Play.
Okay. Wow.
And they have me and you know, my other half at the time, Melissa
mm-hmm.
Fox, on there.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and helping us help with the Cupid family, which we're hoping when we do this Paracon, the Cupid family will also be there as well.
That would be interesting to hear their story. Sure would be.
Oh, yeah. That'd be really neat.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you know, by the time that was over with, I was already writing my next book, which was one of the, you know, bigger cases we dealt with, was even worse than the Cupid case.
Mm-hmm.
And that was that ended up being on a haunting as well. And it was
mm-hmm.
season 8, episode 1, called Heartland Horror.
Mm-hmm.
We were lucky, and the producers liked it enough that they wanted to make that the season premiere.
Wow. Well, is that the
and,
one that happened
that
in
one.
Iowa? Did that happen in Iowa?
Yeah, that was the one in Iowa.
Yeah.
You know, they actually talked about these ghost tours here in Branson and about the family coming on the ghost tour and something following them home.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you know, they knew, you know, turned to me and Melissa.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, let me tell you, they show me and Melissa on these episodes, me and Melissa doing all this stuff, but it's not just me and Melissa. It's not.
Mm-hmm.
We have so many other team members that help us do, you know, a lot of these things. It's unreal.
Yeah. Well, the guy that I met, that is he a demonologist or a clergy person or a little bit of both? Or?
Well, Steve, he works with me here at the tours.
Mm-hmm.
He's not really officially a part of Branson Paranormal, but he is, I don't know what you call it, almost like a consultant because, you know, of his past.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he knows a lot about the satanic worship and stuff like that because he was a Satanist when he was like 13 to 18 or so.
Mm-hmm.
And then he turned to God. And
mm-hmm.
he's now, I mean, he knows more about the Bible than I do, and I'm an ordained minister.
Oh, okay. I didn't know
so,
that.
You know, I mean, so he's turned around his life and he's right there with me, you know, wanting to help as many people as we can.
Mm-hmm.
And I know the night you met him, he was pretty wound up because that was the first time he actually went to that bed and breakfast with us. And I tell you what, it was crazy that night when we went out there.
Mm-hmm.
And that was our, you know, what was going to be our last hurrah with the place. And, you know, I've been growled at before, so it don't
ugh.
Bother me as much.
Yeah.
But I know we were walking there on the second floor corridor of this place, and it growled right between me and Steve. And I think we both probably turned white because it came really unexpected.
Uh-huh. Or whiter.
Yeah.
Well, what else happened when you were at that, where you were growled at? Anything else besides that happen to you? Or
You know, we were growled at. There was it was a weird, like, floating-type face that came between us shortly right after that.
Mm-hmm.
That was actually in between more of my oldest son and Steve.
Mm-hmm.
So I was turning around doing something with the rest of the group, and then I heard them say something, which I can't repeat on the radio. So
yeah,
but I know it freaked them out.
Mm-hmm. Well, so this person, Joe, is he your team demonologist?
Joe Eater is our team demonologist. He is our minister.
Uh-huh.
He's been with us since 2013.
Uh-huh.
And it was really strange how we met Joe. Basically, we were trying to help people. We had taken care of, at this time, would have been our second demonic case.
Mm-hmm.
And it was pretty bad. And when we were on our way home, or I should say after we got home,
mm-hmm.
you know, or actually all started on our way home, we were pushed off the road by something.
Oh, were you driving?
Both hands on the steering wheel, tight grip, and we just all of a sudden went to the side.
Oh, wow.
Okay, what was that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we didn't really try not to think too much about it. Then we got home to Branson, and Melissa went in to take a shower, and I had already mm-hmm. talked to a psychic that we talked with a lot and helped
mm-hmm.
just helped us out.
Mm-hmm.
A lady by the name of Kelly Spurlock. She says, "Here, give this guy a call."
Mm-hmm.
And she gave me Joe's number. And by the time I was just getting on the phone with Joe, I heard Melissa scream. She was in a shower, and
uh-huh.
she seen these handprints coming after her in the shower. And of course,
uh-huh.
she looked at there's nobody there, and she hollered. My son Brandon went back towards her to help her.
Mm-hmm.
He was closer than I was.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you know, he's smaller and more agile, and I'm a little fatter than he is, so not as
yeah.
agile.
Yeah. Well, so what happened then? What did that? Did whatever it was
well, you know,
leave?
Joe,
or?
I talked to Joe, told him what was happening and what we did, and you know how we approach things with you know from the Christian aspect.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "You know what?" He goes, "You guys are like the team that I've been looking for to help me with these cases, because I haven't had the help that kind of do things the way I do."
Mm-hmm.
And so we just ended up talking every day from that point forward. Anytime we had a case, you know, Joe was right there to help us. Joe became, you know, my best friend, pretty much.
Yeah. You guys sound like you have a pretty strong, tough team then.
You know, and it helps with Joe and Debbie because his wife, Debbie, with Joe, I mean, they, you know, they were already sending out these blessing kits to people. And these blessing kits, you know, they can't be cheap. I can't give you a quote on a price and what it costs to send it, but you know it's probably $10 to $15, $20
mm-hmm.
to send one of these out, and they just send them out to you know people that call them, ask them for help, and interview them because I mean because we can't go to every single case that calls us.
Yeah,
we're lucky.
Well,
sometimes if it's more of a minor case, minor to minor
uh-huh.
case,
mm-hmm.
if they do a blessing, you know everything's in the kit and how it's supposed to be done, they do it properly, it'll take care
mm-hmm.
of it.
Mm-hmm.
But on the worst cases, generally, that's when me and Melissa get sent in.
Okay. Well, how often
unless,
do
you
know, go?
Local, then we'll just go anyway first.
Oh, okay. Well, it sounds
you know,
like you get a lot of cases.
Anything for what we ever do.
Yeah.
We
okay.
have done,
that's...
I can't tell you off the top of my head, but we've done a lot.
Mm-hmm.
We've got 3 going right now.
Oh, my.
Wow.
Well, these cases that you get...
One is at the Dillon Theater here in town
yeah.
the ghost tour.
The Liberty? It's not Liberty. What's the one that with the Neil Diamond?
Owen Theater, yep. That's where
yeah.
we got to go.
Yeah. Yeah, that was...
That's going to be our... That's our newest case. Someone just told us about it just the other day that one of the performers was performing on stage and a white misty figure scared the heck out of him and chased him off the stage. So
you kind of...
So
they wanted
to actually take care of it. So
yeah.
we're going there probably within the next weekend or two and take care of it for them.
Yeah. So most of the time when you have a case, is it usually like darker spirit stuff or is it just kind of, it runs the gamut?
Well, unfortunately, when there is the darker stuff, we end up getting a call for that.
Mm-hmm.
And because, I mean, a lot, at least locally, a lot of the cases, a lot of the people, they don't really know how to deal with it.
Right, yeah.
With the demonic, they've never dealt with it, so, you know, they ask for help, and, you know, we're more than willing to help whoever we can.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course,
yeah.
with us being on TV with the demonic cases, you know, that's another reason we get a lot of demonic cases.
Yeah.
Like, oh, they know how to do it.
Yeah.
So we don't do very much of the fun ones anymore.
Oh, yeah. Well, you guys are, you know, kind of the expendables of demonology, it sounds like. You know, you're the ones
that
take on the tough cases.
Well, I mean, I definitely wouldn't go that far, but we try to, you know, we just look at it. You know, we get a lot of groups that talk about us, that we've heard talk about it. You know, they tried to take these cases from a different aspect. And if you're dealing with a demon, the only way to
mm-hmm.
deal with it is through Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, basically good versus evil right there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way we do it with our blessings. And, you know, we use blessed objects, blessed candles, and we, you know, a lot of prayers.
Mm-hmm. Do you use holy water?
We use some holy water, especially if we have, like that bed and breakfast that night when we went back, we blessed every single one of the mirrors.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is our belief that, you know, these demons will use that as like their portal to basically go from place to place.
The mirrors? Is that what you said?
The mirrors, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't really like. I've heard that if you have mirrors that intersect each other, you know, that are in the same, like they reflect off of each other. I've heard that is a portal.
Yeah, so I mean, so we're right there with you on that belief for sure.
Yeah. So, and I think that's an older belief. You know, they believe that way back in the Victorian times, when someone would die, they would cover the mirrors.
Yeah.
Because they didn't want the spirits to come back. So I guess that's actually based in some truth.
Well, we tried to, the way I've always tried to approach things, you know, because you can't always believe what you hear. That's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, we try to approach it, okay, well, this is what we've heard. How
mm-hmm.
true is this? And then
mm-hmm.
once we get an experience or something to back up whatever, then it's like, okay.
Yeah.
That's the way it is.
Oh.
I've had a lot of people with different religious backgrounds say, well, you know, demons can't touch you.
Mm-hmm.
And I just tell them, well, you know what? Good luck with that. You're full.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I've been scratched to prove it.
Ugh. Wow.
You know, I know different team members. We've been scratched, pushed, you know, all kinds of the bad, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's all worth it because we get to help these families and they get, you know, to live in peace and go home and, you know, be normal.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever had to go back more than once? Well, you said that theater, but I'm assuming you kind of just do a preliminary, you know, scan and then you go back and do the heavier stuff. But do you, in a case like with a dark spirit or something, do you have to go back several times or is once enough or does it just depend?
We try to do it all at one time,
mm-hmm.
but it kind of depends. Like the Cupid case, it was so strong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Melissa and I, the show in the program, we were there once. Well,
mm-hmm.
I can tell you that's wrong. We were there three times.
Mm-hmm.
That first time, we just kind of a real quick impromptu investigation kind of thing because we
mm-hmm.
just happened to be, like, right there.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've done the investigation, and, of course, with that, I got some really good evidence to let us know, hey, that's definitely a demonic spirit. You know, you get a EVP talk and three different voices talking in Latin. That's demonic. I don't care who you are.
Ugh.
Wow.
And growls and everything else just from that, you know, little hour and a half little investigation in broad daylight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We get home and, you know, go over the evidence and tell Chris right away, hey, you guys got to be careful. This is demonic.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, get a hold of Joe. Joe sends him a blessing kit. The blessing helped for, I want to say, you know, once I did it, that was probably October 2013.
Mm-hmm.
And then late December, they started having issues.
Mm-hmm.
But their whole family structure changed, too, because they adopted some children
mm-hmm.
that were some of Roseanne's family. And, you know, they were in very bad, abusive relationships with their parents and drug use and, you know, just everything that would bring in a demonic spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So it came right back. It came back twice as hard. So January 2014, we go down there, which it just
mm-hmm.
so happens. We go down there one weekend to the light-off case the next weekend, the way it actually worked.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we went to Chris's house that second time. We, you know, we were there all night. We got a bunch of evidence. We done what we thought was a mass blessing.
Mm-hmm.
And we thought, you know, this here would get rid of it.
Yeah.
Well, it lasted about a week and a half.
Oh, wow. Gosh.
So we had to, like, okay, you know, we're at wit's end. We're going to have to do something different.
Mm-hmm. You must have been exhausted.
It is.
So do you find any kind of a common thread with these demonic hauntings? I mean, as far as, like, have the people done something to invite it in? Or is it more like they just kind of walk into something that they don't realize what they've done?
Well, part of it, what we find is either, you know, maybe a family has moved into a location and something horrible has happened in the past, whether, you know, satanic rituals or Ouija boards or just, you know, violence in general. Bring those demonic
okay.
entities in. But also, we find that it's not necessarily the house that's haunted, it's the person.
Mm-hmm.
So have you had to do any
things attached
ism?
To them? What was that?
So have you had to do any exorcisms on any people?
Yes, we have. We have done, oh, you're making me count. Six, I think. Five, six, something like that. Which those, you know, they're not really what you see on TV, I promise.
Right.
Yeah, you know, I'm not going to sit here on the radio and try to Hollywoodize it in any way, shape, or form. It's not really what you see on TV. You know, the heads turning around and climbing the walls, that's all. Focus.
No green vomit.
Right.
Yeah. The only thing close to that is what we had, and I can tell you this story. This is part, and this will be actually part in the documentary, is when we went out to that bed and breakfast, and this would have been December 2015. We had a young lady with us, and she had done a couple cases with us. And she wanted to go out to the church. You know, she'd come down with her uncle, and her uncle's been our cameraman for since 2013. So she wanted to come out and, you know, she'd heard all about this bed and breakfast, so she wanted to check it out.
Mm-hmm.
So we took her out there. And we wasn't there probably 20 minutes up on that third floor, and it took a hold of her real quick.
Oh. Wow.
Because all of a sudden, you know, she went to, you know, she tried to throw herself down the stairs. And my stepson, Aaron, most of the stuff grabbed her.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to end up carrying her from the third floor all the way out to the front patio, so on the second level. And I mean, at that point, I'm following everybody down and they're carrying her. I think that she's just freaking out.
Mm-hmm.
But I go over there to, you know, mark the sign of a cross on her head and start praying, and she starts cussing and ranting and raving.
Mm-hmm.
And she's out here, and this is like midnight, 1 a.m. in the front of this property. I'm thinking, oh my God, we're going to jail.
Yeah.
You know, if you have all these guys basically surrounding this girl, so they're not going to believe it's an exorcism. They're going to believe something else, you know, unfortunately.
Right.
What's today's
standard?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we're out there praying on her, and, you know, and she's just, we have this part on video, which, Veronica, mm-hmm. I'm sure you've seen part of it.
Yeah, I did.
So she's going just crazy. And I finally said, you know what, let's get her across the street, off the property. Maybe that will at least release its grip enough so we can go in the building and get the rest of our stuff and get to the house.
Mm-hmm.
Figured we'd take her to the house, do the exorcism. Melissa wasn't there with us, but I called her and said, hey, you know what, get the stuff ready. We're going to have to do an exorcism on Kinsey. And, you know, we get across the street, and it just got worse. Like, what the heck?
Yeah.
We ended up getting it calm enough to where we were able to run up and get the truck and then, you know, hold her down in the vehicle while we are going inside getting our stuff, three of us, and running back. Then we called two other of our team members that had just left before this. Said, hey, man, come to our house. We got this going on. It's serious. We need help holding this girl down.
Mm-hmm.
And it took eight guys to hold this girl down at the house at the exorcism.
Great Scott.
And, I mean, I couldn't believe it. You'd have two guys on one arm, you know, two on the other arm, and she would actually lift her arms up and reach over and grab her hair and just pull it out.
Oh, wow. That's incredible strength.
That was the scariest I've probably ever been in my life.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we couldn't get a hold of Joe. You know, Joe had his phone on. I called him 14 different times that night, and he did not have one missed call from me.
Oh, my goodness.
Which we thought, how did that happen?
Yep.
But, you know, Melissa and I and the rest of the team, we ended up getting the two different demonic names out of her.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you to this day, the girl is normal.
Mm-hmm.
She is 100% fine.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when Joe flew down with other team members, Dan and Kaylee, for the for that documentary shoot,
mm-hmm.
Joe went ahead and blessed Kinsey just to kind of totally make sure that, you know, she was fine.
Yeah.
And
no bad reaction.
She's doing great.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's good news.
She's doing great now. But that's kind of what started the whole idea of, you know what, we need to do a documentary on this place, let people know.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons for that is back in, I'd say within the last 2 years around, you know, this area, the Forsyth, Branson area,
mm-hmm.
there's been teenagers, you know, they get stupid, and they go into
mm-hmm.
this bed and breakfast, and they will vandalize it. Now, something we found out, and we thought, well, you know, maybe it's a coincidence after the first couple, but after you get about six different 15-year-old teenage deaths.
Yeah.
And they've all been in that bed and breakfast at one time, and they've mm-hmm. all vandalized it at one time, and they've all died within a mile of the building.
Wow.
That's beyond just, coincidence. Yeah.
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 So like, you know what? We need to do something.
Yeah.
You know, we've done that documentary for 2 days there almost constantly. And then the night you were in Branson, we had to go back.
Mm-hmm.
Because we had went earlier that afternoon, actually, when you called to make your reservations, that's where I was at.
Oh, no kidding.
And, you know, we were kind of checking on things and seeing how things was. And one of the investigators, Kaylee, she's like, you know, it's here. You know, she has a lot of the same gifts Melissa does.
Uh-huh.
And she could feel it. She goes, man, it is here. It is strong. We're going to have to come back.
Uh-huh.
So that's, you know, we knew we were going back that night when we done the ghost tour that night.
Yeah.
And then we have gone out there, you know, we left that night and, you know, we done everything we normally do. And the only thing different we did, other than bless all the mirrors, is something told Kaylee to start reading out of, I believe it was the Armor of God prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really weird. Her and Melissa both could feel this thing as she was reading it. It, like, lifting its grip, like it was gone.
Mm-hmm.
When we went out the out the doors that night, you could see two demonic spirits out there.
Oh.
And then
Ooh.
They just kind of started, like they started away from the building and vanished.
Uh-huh.
So we thought, okay, well, good, it's gone, you know. And then we went back out there 4 weeks later just to get an aftermath shots.
Mm-hmm.
And it's there.
So it was gone? Everything was gone?
Everything was gone, and then it was back again. And we're like, what the heck? So we started doing some research, and we found
mm-hmm.
out there's a cult that does rituals right across the street at a park from the bed and breakfast.
Like currently? Like right now?
Yes.
And they keep calling this stuff. Okay.
Yep. So we decided, you know what, we're going to get a step ahead up. We knew when they were meeting because they
mm-hmm.
were stupid enough and posted online.
Mm-hmm.
So we went out there the night before and put St. Michael pendants up around the whole area that they use.
Yeah.
So it would neutralize the land so, you know, nothing bad would come up.
Yeah.
So now we're getting ready here probably next week to do our final walk through the place and do the final prayers to get rid of the last little thing that's there. Because now we know
mm-hmm.
you know, something can't go back in there.
Mm-hmm. Well,
other than, you know, the regular ghost.
Yeah. Well, I have a hard time understanding why someone, first of all, would be in a cult like that. And secondly, if they're in a cult like that and they're calling these dark spirits, don't they suffer some kind of negative consequences?
Oh, yes, they do. And, you know, a lot of the time, the way it works, too, is it's like these people, like, forget about it. It's like, oh, well, I did
mm-hmm.
that 20 years ago. I'm good.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
They will come back after them.
So these spirits
just,
come back,
you know,
after the people that did the rituals, like,
yes,
years later?
Yes, basically, you do a lot of those rituals. You know, in a roundabout way, your
mm-hmm.
soul is owed to the devil.
Oh.
Depends on the ritual.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have, like, a demonic spirit do your dirty deeds,
oh,
your soul
okay.
is what they will get in return for doing these deeds for you.
I see. So you really do trade your soul to the company store. Only the company store is the devil. Okay. Well, and I wondered, you said that some people are haunted. How is it that, you know, we've talked to some other people that help in these kind of cases, and they say that, you know, sometimes the person is just a good Christian person and they still get attacked, and it's kind of like, well, it seems like they would be the last person that would be attacked or bothered, and I struggle with trying to figure out why that would happen to someone like that. Do you have an explanation?
Well, we have that same issue happen from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
It's either, you know, something they have done before they found Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like with Roseanne using the Ouija board back when she was 13 to 16.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it came back worse, you know, once she had kids. It wanted kids.
Okay.
You know, so it already had that opening.
Uh-huh.
But also, we are finding out that if you are a gifted individual,
uh-huh.
know, you can see the spirits, talk to them, things like that.
Yep.
They're going to go after you because, you know, I'll figure if you put in one gifted person and you got surrounded like by 100 or 200 people that are not, they're going to see that gifted person because their aura is like a beacon of light. It's like, oh,
yeah,
come over here, talk to me.
Yeah, yeah. Yes,
so, you
know,
I mean,
know about that.
Yeah, I figured you did.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have, you know, and another explanation on that is, and this is kind of what where me and Joe was talking about, you know, why are some of these things happening?
Yeah.
But it does make sense the way Joe talked about it. And he said, you know, Wesley, he says, because if you're going to do a good deed for God sometime down the line, Satan is going to do whatever he can to make sure that does not happen.
Ah, okay. Yeah.
Like with one of the reasons they were after Brittany so much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, someone, a psychic, had told them that she was going to do something really good for God.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, these demons were basically trying to stop her from doing that, which, you know, it was kind of funny after, you know, they were told that, like 3 or 4 days later, you know, Brittany came home from school and said that she wanted to be a minister for children.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Oh.
So it was like, oh. So, I mean, I think that is what our theory is, you know.
Yeah.
Theory is theory, you know. No,
right.
I don't know if it's right, I don't know if it's wrong, but theory that, you know, if you're going to be doing something good for God, the demons are going to do everything they can to stop it.
Yes. Well, I have had many teachers, and one of my teachers said that if you are walking a spiritual path and you're trying to do the right thing, expect to be challenged. I mean, she just said that just straight up.
But
so,
that just, you know, makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm. Because it's like you said, you know, the dark side does not want their white side to succeed. So they're going to do what they can to cause you to fail or try. I'll say try to make you fail. So, yeah, I've heard that before. So,
is there anything that you would recommend then that people do to protect themselves? Especially, you know, people like me, I have no gifts whatsoever. I've actually been told I have like a block to everything. So anyway, I was going to see what you thought would be a good way to protect yourself, because I've not ever really, you know, seen or heard anything. And a lot of times when we do go on investigations and stuff, the group I'm with doesn't see or hear anything, and I always tell them it's because of me. So,
well, with me,
anyway,
don't feel lonely. I'm about as gifted as a brick. You know, I don't feel nothing. I can have a demon right there standing in my face, and I'm, you know, I don't feel it. I don't see it, nothing. For Melissa, I'll see Melissa's look on her face, and she's like, oh, crap.
Mm-hmm.
She just gets that look, and you know something's, like, right there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I have no, you know, I don't feel it. But, you know, something that every single one of my team members do when we go into any case, because, you know, you never really know what you're walking into. We always wear blessed objects.
Okay.
Like myself, I wear a blessed St. Michael's pendant at all times. But
okay.
I also have a blessed St. Benedict's crucifix.
Yeah.
So I recommend to anybody, you know, no matter what, have something blessed, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Michael is one of the preferred objects because, you know, he's a spirit protector.
Yes.
And before anyone goes into any case, any building, whatever, you know, before you step foot in that place, you say a prayer. You ask God to protect you at all times, and don't allow anything to follow you home.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then as soon as you step out, you know, your investigation's done, you do the same thing. And that's what we did. You know, whether that's 100%, no, it's not.
Yeah.
But it helps a lot.
Yeah.
And I'll say a lot because, you know, as much as we deal with the demonic, you know, with me and Melissa, they always say, you know, once you get your foot in the door of the demonic, you know, they will never forget you.
That's what I've heard, too.
And, you know, living proof, we had issues at the house today. I was at the house all by myself today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know we have a dog, but I was in the bedroom and I heard something running from, like, one door to the other door. It was, like, back and forth. I'm like, okay, so I'm the only one home.
Mm-hmm.
Dog out. So I go check and look, and the dog is in his cage, sleeping.
Ooh.
Ooh, okay. Time to go to the office.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So they mimic sounds, and they mimic, they're mimics, basically. Are they not?
Oh, yeah, we have a couple pictures. And some of the EVPs that we were just going over, like right before I called in, was from the bed and breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them are mimicking Steve's voice. It's not Steve, because
yep.
you can hear Steve.
Yeah.
You hear this other voice, and it's like it's Steve's voice almost, except it's about an octave higher.
Well, like see, that's
when
my
we were
question.
Just going over someone, we went last Friday over there.
Yeah.
And somebody that was with us, it was their birthday.
Yeah.
Hey,
and
my birthday,
something. And why it said it, I don't know, but it says, this is Lucifer's birthday, too. And I can't say the rest of it.
Ew. Wow. Yeah.
But it's almost in Steve's voice, once again.
Yeah.
What the heck is that coming from?
Yeah.
You know, just craziness.
Well, here's my question to you. I mean, I have a lot of gifts, but I'm wondering for just a person that's maybe a little sensitive or something, but... or not, but just the average person, how are they going to tell between just a regular human spirit and a dark spirit? How do you tell? What is the telltale signs that a person can watch for?
With us, a lot of times it's when we are interviewing people,
mm-hmm.
and they will talk about hearing 3 footsteps. You know, maybe 3 knocks at the door.
Oh.
Things like that. Things in threes. Because it's
mimicking
infinity.
Okay.
You know, from what I have witnessed, and I'll say witnessed, you know, not that it can't happen, but what I have witnessed, you know, a ghost is not going to scratch you. A ghost cannot scratch you.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be a demonic spirit. And 99.9% it is in threes. I mean, I do have one picture. Where Chris Cupid got attacked, and it was 4 scratches, and they were huge scratches.
Mm-hmm.
You guys come down to the Paracon, and I'll show you some of these real pictures.
Yeah.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
We're sure going to try. Yeah.
But,
it's on my calendar.
Got, you know, also, I've noticed where some people think, well, you know, we're being attacked by you know, we have a ghost of a little girl.
Mm-hmm.
But it's lifting up our furniture and stuff. I'm like, okay, sure. That
mm-hmm.
is really a little girl doing that. A spirit of a girl,
mm-hmm.
that is going to be a demonic spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Because we know a demonic spirit will transform to anything it wants, but there's always at least something wrong with it. And we've noticed this a lot of times. A lot of times it's the eyes.
Okay.
Like, a couple different cases. I mean, Melissa, we're seeing these, Melissa's seen this little girl. She said, but Wesley, she goes, she would not show me her face for the longest time.
Yeah.
When she did, she goes, I knew right then and there that was not a girl. Okay,
mm-hmm.
her eyes were like gone, just like pure black there.
Mm-hmm. Ooh. Do you ever see or have
the weird things we've had happen? We've had some crazy stuff happen.
Yeah, I mean, I'm wondering about the red eyes. If you've ever had an experience with something with red eyes,
we've had a red gargoyle.
No, okay.
Now that actually happened in the Cupid case.
Mm-hmm.
And I was getting ready to do an EVP session. Me and Melissa, we were right there at their master bathroom closet where they had a lot of the issues at,
mm-hmm.
which is where this thing was hiding at. And as soon as I opened that door and turned around to say something to Melissa, Melissa was gone. I'm like, what the heck? You know, she came back a few minutes later, and she said she never felt so much hate, so much anger in her life.
Uh-huh.
And on the show, they show her running from spiders, which, you know, she mentioned being scared of spiders and seeing spiders the second time we were there.
Uh-huh.
But what actually chased her out of the house was there was a big, large-winged gargoyle-type creature just kind of perched up in the top of that closet. And as soon as I opened the door, it went after her. And that's, you know, that's when she actually got scared.
Uh-huh.
So we have dealt with red eyes.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't like the red eyes thing, and... I don't know. It's like you said, you know, the Native Americans, especially the Navajos, would call shapeshifters, or they would call they have different names for things that in our culture we just call them like dark spirits or demons. And it seems to me like, you know, in the Middle East they talk about the jinns. And to me, the comparison is just, it's the same thing, but just a different culture. You know, they manifest in similar ways, and I just wondered if you had any thoughts about that, if you think it's all this kind of coming from the same place, or do you think it's something different, or?
I personally think it's all demonic spirit.
Yeah.
With them kind of transforming to blend in with the culture's beliefs.
Yeah.
Like for
I
instance,
agree with that.
This new, well, it's not too new, but the whole Slender Man thing.
Mm-hmm.
Which I have a theory on that. You know, kids nowadays are scared to death of this Slender Man thing.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, you never really had any sights of a Slender Man, really.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But the more kids you get scared of it, guess what? These demons, you know, they know about it. They know what scares kids. So they're going to transform into that form of Slender Man.
Ah, sure.
They were doing that over at the Cupid's house with the kids when they first started going after the kids.
Uh-huh.
They were seeing just like what you described as Slender Man, and, you know, they didn't know what Slender Man was.
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't have a clue.
Yeah.
They do now.
Well, and, you know, there's another thing that is a common theme, sort of, in paranormal investigations, it seems like. A lot of places that I've been to or things I've read about, they often see, he's a solid black figure and he's wearing a cowboy hat. And I'm thinking to myself, well, that could be what we're talking about. They're just simply shape-shifting into something that they have picked up on in people's thoughts. So, because I don't really know what those things are, those cowboy hat men or beings.
Well, see, I wonder if it's not what we call the hooded figure.
The hooded figure, yeah. I've
and
seen
just,
those.
You're mistaken a little bit.
Yeah, could be.
I've seen one of those here just probably 2 weeks ago there at that bed and breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, usually I'm the one that don't see nothing, and Melissa was right behind me.
Yeah.
I said, and I just looked at her and said, did I just see what I think I seen? She goes, yes, you just saw blah, 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 blah.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, yep, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, that's what I've seen.
Uh-huh.
So when you go on investigations, do you use any type of equipment?
Yeah, well, I mean, we use the basics. We're poor. You know, we use just recorders. You know, we use the digital cameras, of course. And we use, you know, the night vision camera. Sometimes, if we're lucky, we'll set up our DVR system that we just got recently.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have just recently got a couple FLIR cameras.
Oh, man, that'll be kind of cool.
Like the obelisk,
uh-huh.
You know, your spirit box.
Mm-hmm.
And then one of our guys, Danny, he's one of our guys in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
He made one of those portals. You ever heard one of those?
Oh,
yes. Yeah.
He made one of those, and those things are really creepy. They really are.
Yeah. I don't think it's something that I would do on a Saturday night home alone. You know?
Yeah. No, for sure.
Neither,
not in your
actually.
Own house.
Mm-mm. Well, and that's another question.
I was going to ask a question about... Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to actually kind of change directions here. I was just looking on your website, and it says that you do monthly paranormal investigations. What does that entail?
The monthly investigation or special investigation with the ghost tours?
Yes.
We'll take people out. Sometimes it may be inside the Olin Theater, or it may be I may pick out two or three different locations on the ghost tour, and we'll get out the equipment and kind of show everyone what it's like to do an investigation that's never done one before and let them be
so
a part of it.
Is that what you're going to do at the Parafest?
You know, I don't know for a fact, so don't quote me on this, but I think we might be doing an investigation at that bed and breakfast.
Whoa.
Okay.
So since we'll have all the... actually demonic out, we'll have just ghosts there. I think that's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
Ooh, that sounds awesome.
Yeah, I can see the excitement in your eyes, Jamie. I want to go. Yeah. Wow. Well, that would be a really nice treat, I think, to do something like that, to go where you've actually done some casework.
So I was going to ask also, on your tours, what do you recommend that people bring anything particular on the tours? Or what kind of information? Just a camera, basically?
Bring your camera. They can take a bunch of pictures. If they want, if they are investigators and want to bring equipment, they're more than welcome to do that. I'm not picky at all.
Oh, okay.
And then, you know, if, like I know I was telling Veronica, if you guys did come out to the Paracon, I'd like it for it set up for you guys to do your radio program live from there.
I think we would like that, too.
we would.
Then both of you can investigate with me that night.
Oh, man. Oh,
yep.
Twist my arm.
Awesome.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
I've already
but
got
I was going to ask you another question about the ghost tour, though. Is there a different phone number that they need to call, that people need to call to book a ghost tour, or is it the same phone number you gave us earlier?
The same phone number I gave you earlier. That comes basically, a lot of times you're going to get my cell phone with that, because transfer the phone over to my cell phone when I'm not here.
Okay.
But if not, I mean, we have other people that answer the phone here in the office now. But, just tell them, hey, we want to do the ghost tour on so-and-so date and how many people there is and all that. And you got a small group coming, we'll give them a discount, everything else.
And I recommend it. It's a good one.
Is there anything else that you want to tell people that are going to be booking a tour? I mean, is there any other advice or anything that you would like to tell them?
We talked a lot about this documentary and the old bed historic honeymoon hotel. I guess I better tell you the title of the documentary.
Oh, okay.
Sure.
That would be Lucifer's Effect, Hell's Gate.
Wow.
And we call it that.
That's
sounds so scary and demonic. We have people say, well, it's demons. We don't want nothing to do with demons. But what Lucifer's Effect part, what that actually means is, you know, that's the effect that it had on all of our team members. You know, when we were there, you know, like what it did to Kinsey, the problems we had at the house, the problems Dan and Kaylee were having all the way in Florida because of this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, the whole Hell's Gate part, pretty simple. That was like walking into the gates of hell. Like, so evil. So that's what we got that title from. And that will premiere the night of the Paracon at the Olin Theater, a haunted theater.
Okay.
But then, you know, I didn't really mention all my books, but I'll tell everybody real quick.
Please.
I wrote my first book was a fictional tale called The Dark Craft. Then, of course, the second book was my family story, which is House of Echoes, The Complete True Haunting. And then the third book was Deliverers from Evil, The Chris and Roseanne Cupid Haunting. And then the fourth one was A True Exorcism, A Soul Held Hostage. Then I just recently released the book I probably told you about, Veronica, The Branson Ghost and Paranormal Tours, The Stories. Officially have that out.
Now, where can we get these books?
Most of them, you can get them on Amazon.com, Books A Million, Barnes & Noble. They're all in ebook form, except for the newest Ghost Tour stories. I haven't got that in ebook form yet.
Will you have those on sale at the Parafest?
Yes, I will have every single one of them at the Parafest, and I will be signing them, and plus I'll have my newest
book.
And
you'll be signing them?
Yes.
Oh, great. Okay.
Yes.
And I will have my newest book at that point, and that will be Lucifer's Effect, Hell's Gate, which is going to follow along a lot with the documentary. Covers to give, you know, a little more background, probably a little more insight on some of the stuff that was going on.
Well, how can people see these episodes of haunting that you've had on?
A lot of them are on YouTube.
Okay.
Or I think, Daily Motion, I think, has either all of them, I think.
Okay.
But they would just look up, like, A Haunting, Season 7, Episode 7, Child's Play. Or they would look up Season 7, Episode 9, Nightmare in the Attic.
Okay.
Or A Haunting, Season 8, Episode 1, Heartland Horror.
Okay.
Like I said, that was the newest one. That one actually premiered January 3rd.
Okay. And I've got another question that I'm wondering if other people want to know, but you mentioned this Armor of God prayer of protection. Is that a common prayer that someone can Google, or is that a special prayer you get from a a Catholic priest, or where does this prayer come from?
Well, I guess it's not actually a prayer. Melissa corrected me on this.
Okay.
2 or 3 weeks ago.
Okay.
And it's actually more of a just a scripture in the Bible.
Oh.
You know what that is, Steve? Armor of God.
It's the one about putting on the full armor of God.
Steve, I'll look it up real quick.
Okay, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So, can I ask a question while she's looking for that? Did you do any type of research to get the goat stories for your tour?
You know, when I bought the business, I spent a lot of time at the local museum. You know, I wanted to make sure that the stories we were already telling were true.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, but well, I'm thinking about trying to do a little bit of background checking. What kind of websites did you get on? Was it just like just the history of
mine
the town?
I went to the Branson Centennial Museum. Ephesians 10 through 18.
Okay.
Armor of God prayer. Yeah, I went mostly over to the Branson Centennial Museum, talked to the historians, and then we've done some of the websites, some online you can find, some of, like the Jake Fliegel one at the train station. They talk a little bit about the Plum Bazaar. You know, they'll talk a little bit about the Owen Theater.
Mm-hmm.
But that's about it. Mostly what I found, because I was trying to find the haunting part, and those are kind of hard to find.
Mm-hmm.
Most of that's just, you know, word of mouth.
Yeah. Well, and sometimes people write these stories and they're not validated, so it's really hard to know if it's true or not.
Well, I've done, like I said, as much research as I possibly could, and if there was a part that I wasn't sure about, I would even put in there, this part here, it's rumored.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, some of the haunting parts, we are able to know for a fact it happened because we've been able to get some evidence to back it up.
Mm-hmm.
And I even talk about, you know, some of the different investigations we've done at those locations to help back up some of those haunting claims.
Hmm. Wow.
Like
this,
Oh, the Owen Theater, you know, we've investigated there so much. One of the locations where a mother and her child were supposed to have been held and tortured, you know, her child's name was Rory, we actually have some EVPs from a sounds like from a little four-year-old child.
Mm-hmm.
A real young child.
Sad.
And
yeah.
One of them says, I thought you were Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
And my son Brandon was actually doing EVPs, and my stepson Aaron was standing right next to him.
Mm-hmm.
So that was, you know, pretty intelligent response.
Yeah, sure is. Well, we're getting down to about the close to the last 5 minutes. Is there anything that you want to tell us right quick, or you know, we've got your website, I think. We've got a phone number. We've got that your books are on Amazon. Is there anything else that you wanted to let us know about? And, of course, we know about the ParaFest that's coming up in October in Branson.
Well, I know with some people that go to a lot of different ParaFests, they pay, you know, a pretty nice little chunk of change usually just to get through the door.
Yeah, yeah.
Our general admission ticket's like $10.
Oh, that's
not
outrageous.
Wow. You know, we're out to break even. Just what we, you know, spend on the venue. I mean, that's all we care about.
Yeah.
But we will have special events with the ghost tours that night.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Joe will be there, Danny, Kaylee. Everyone you see in that documentary pretty much will be there. And extras.
Yes. Wow. I think
and
that sounds like
if
a fabulous.
Any of the listeners are getting ready to come down to Branson, see us.
Mm-hmm.
Let them know, hey, I heard you on Fear Paranormal Radio, and we'll give them $2 off for tickets.
Hey, we'll take
cool.
it.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I know there are other FEAR members that might be interested because we have groups in Austin, Dallas, Houston, I think.
Yes.
So we've got a pretty broad reach. So hopefully we'll get a bunch of people gathered up to go. So that sounds really exciting to me.
I know. I'm excited. I'm so ready to go.
I am, too.
I'm dying to see this documentary.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff here. And I'm a little scared of it because I live alone and I don't like to see scary things because I live alone. But maybe if I had a couple beers and I was with some friends, I'd be okay. But
hey, there's nothing wrong with that at all.
Yeah. Because I'm, you know,
all for supporting any local saloons.
Yep.
Like
yeah. There needs to be a mixed drink called Ghostbuster, I think, you know.
Hey, I think you just created something.
Yeah. Maybe we'll work on that at the Parafest. We'll figure out a nice mixed drink.
Okay. Sounds like a plan.
We'll all have to figure that one out.
Yeah. Well, we'll be in touch.
I mean, I'll even volunteer to be a taste tester.
Okay. That sounds like a deal. But,
all right,
yeah,
so
we'll stay in touch.
Before we go, let's repeat the phone number for him so that way they'll know how to book the ghost tour and also to find out about the Paracon that's coming up. Make sure this is correct. It's 417-334-7004.
Yep, that is correct.
That's correct. Okay. And then your website is BransonGhost.com.
Yeah, BransonGhost.com. And the right course at the current moment is still under construction.
Oh, okay. All right. But they can still look under, I don't remember what website I had looked under. Just Branson Ghost and Paranormal Tour. Is that still?
Yeah, but it's a lot of the old information, but it gives them kind of still the basics.
And you're on
okay.
Facebook, too, so.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Okay.
Facebook's probably our best one.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
And on Facebook, it's just your name or what?
Yeah, Branson Ghost and Paranormal Tours.
Oh, okay.
Eventually,
I'm going
to get a new logo downloaded.
Yay.
Okay.
Well, I have a picture I need to show you. I may email to you, Wesley, because I got a really unusual picture on the ghost tour, but I just haven't emailed it to you yet. So I'll be in touch.
All right, well, stay in touch. Email it to me.
Yeah.
And let us know what we think.
Yeah, yeah, it's interesting. I'm going to show it at the Paracon in Tyler.
And if we know for sure you guys are getting, you know, are going to get to do the radio program live from there,
mm-hmm.
we can
mm-hmm.
start premiering that or, you know, let everybody know all about it. Promoting
it.
All
right, all right.
Well, we'll be meeting with most of our team this weekend, and so I think we'll discuss it, and I'm sure it wouldn't be a problem. So
that sounds great.
And like we said, hopefully we can get most of our team members to come up there with us.
Yes.
That'd be great.
Yes. Well, we appreciate your time because I know you're really busy. So we'll be in touch, though. Yeah, we will be in touch, and I will definitely be in touch. And maybe when we get another rotation, if you want to come back on, you're certainly welcome to come back.
Oh, yes.
All right, just let me know.
Okay. Well, it's been nice talking to you.
I'm going to be on Darkness Radio next Wednesday.
Oh, are you? Okay.
With
Dave Schrader, yep. I met Dave in Virginia City, Nevada. So I'll be listening.
All
so
right.
I guess without further ado, I'm gonna say goodnight because I don't want us to get cut off like we did once before.
Yes, yeah. We're pretty close, so I think
yeah.
we better say goodbye.
Yeah.
All right, good night, guys. Appreciate it.
So we'll say goodnight,
okay,
Gracie.
Goodnight. Thank
Good night.
You.
Paracon.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.